Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Marvel Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the Marvel Universe.
Hello, fellow Marvel fans, and welcome to Marvel Movie News on the Popcorn Talk Network, where we break down all the Marvel movie news from all the studios and tell you why you should be as excited as we are. We're broadcasting to you live from the Danger Room.
Yeah.
We've got our good friend Jatarvis in the booth. Say hi, Jatarvis.
Hi.
So spirited.
He really keeps it up.
Oh, yeah. Man, he is bringing it up today. You can visit us on Facebook, Marvel News for Marvel fans. Like us, follow us there. We're also all on Twitter, at Marvel Schmoes. I'm also at the Matt Key.
You can find me at M Placco.
At Matt Cook Tweeted.
We've got Adam Gertler here today. What's your Twitter?
Yes, hi, I'm Adam Gertler, at Adam Gertler. You can also find me at DC Movies SK, because we do the DC Movie News show.
I would assume with that shirt.
Oh, this old thing? This old thing. That's right.
Why did you invite a traitor onto our show?
He's not a traitor.
Tell her about the long history of crossovers.
Oh, right.
Giant-sized Batman versus Hulk.
We're doing an amalgam today.
He's playing Dark Claw today.
You can follow us on YouTube at youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork, or you can go to popcorntalk.com. Follow them on Twitter at the Popcorn Talk. Also, please don't forget to...
I actually want to address something real quick. Imperative that if you do follow us on youtube.com/schmoesknowpodcast, we are switching to the Popcorn Talk Network, so you want to resubscribe, because that is our new home.
Yes.
That's our new home.
Yeah.
So go find us there. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. Keeps us coming back to you every single week.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just want to remind everyone, before we get started in anything, none of us are experts here. We've read a lot. We know a lot. But we're fans just like you. If we get things wrong, be gentle with us and kindly correct us. Have you guys had some threats?
I've had a guy try to hit me with a Batmobile.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Yeah.
He was actually trying to cram the knowledge into you?
Yeah.
Or was he just he was mad that we weren't talking about DC.
Guy. Oh, right.
But now by the way, that show just for that.
That man was Adam West, by the way. Yeah. Just so you know. It was kind of surreal
for
us.
He was just confused.
Yeah, he was.
No, that would be Burt Ward.
Aww.
I feel bad now.
No. Life.
Adam.
Yes.
Welcome to the show. It's exciting to have a DC guy in here.
It's so great to be here. You know, the first time I was here, you and I were in these very same positions.
Yeah, and
we were debating.
Debating.
And it was, you know, look, it was put in the idea that it was meant to be a debate, and we really had to go at each other. But the fact is, I'm a Marvel fan as much as a DC fan.
And I'm a DC fan.
Were you debating the two universes? It was like if you were on Debate Squad and you were like, all right, you have this side of the argument and you have that side of the argument.
And what was the argument? What's better?
It was like,
after the DC slate.
Right. Who made the bigger announcement? Who was making the bigger news? DC versus Marvel.
Yeah. Wow.
And you won.
I did, but I was playing dirty. I was really,
you were playing real,
I was like being loud and pushy and just trying to.
How could you win that?
Because
I mean, listen, I'm not going to hate
really,
on DC.
Really good.
Okay,
you are very good.
Because
you are,
Marvel
so
should have won that for you.
No, I know.
Why? I'm so disappointed.
I'm disappointed. I still wear that on my back. Like, that is a monkey
we're
that will never leave.
To bury those hatchets, bury those mallets, hammers.
Mjolnirs.
And those Mjolnirs.
Oh, we can get, like, Harley's mallet and Thor's Mjolnir.
Oh, exactly.
Together.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
next time you should bring in Harley's mallet. Why
I
don't
will.
You have that?
I do. I've got three.
He really likes to cosplay as Harley Quinn.
That was the number one cosplay at the New York Comic Con.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It's a good one.
So you are on DC Movie News with the schmoes and the Popcorn Talk.
Yeah, with Roxy Stryer and Johnny LaQuasto.
Yeah, it's a good show. If you're not watching it and you're a DC fan, go check it out. What else are you doing?
I also do a show on FX called FX Movie Download. So that airs most Friday nights when they show like a lot of those movies that you've seen 1,000 times on FX, but they want to repackage it, do something new. So Sasha Pearl Raver and I will do what they call interstitial commentary. A lot of times we're really lucky and we get to interview filmmakers.
Super cool.
And then we get to kind of just like throw to some of the bonus content and, you know, just talk about behind the scenes stuff and also kind of geek out. But it's a little bit more of a rigid format, you know, because we've got like 12 seconds to talk here before we go to commercial. So you don't get just like spew like you do on Popcorn Talk, which is so cool.
Which is great. Well, we've also got Matt Cook's friend Greg. He's on the couch. Say hi, Greg.
That's right.
Hello.
Yeah, Greg. That was great. You were great. He was so nervous about saying hello, and you just nailed it.
You just nailed it, man.
You did a great job.
We're all proud of you.
I thought he was going to go with hi. It seemed like he was working on
hi
until the thing started, and then he just flipped it.
Yeah.
He surprised all of us. He came in with a different one.
He felt the room, made the adjustment.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I was going to do salutations, but...
No. Too far.
Don't apologize. You did a great job.
You did great.
Next time.
So thank you. We've got lots of news to cover today. We may not actually get to talk about comic books too much because we have so much news to catch up on.
It happens.
But we are going to be talking about...
You just changed that order on me.
Oh, no.
I know, but from there, I told Jatarvis a different order.
But it's up there.
I have to go off of this. You think you can see that when you're in the booth? No.
I don't know. Sorry, so we're having a little bit of a production.
This is how it all goes down.
This
is behind the scenes. Yeah, this is the Blu-ray extras.
Kind of stuff happens on DC Movie News all the time.
This is what happens when Matt Key decides he wants to take over the producer role, and I'm like, come on.
Whatever.
One thing I can do.
Thanks a lot, Gertler. You and your Flash t-shirt.
It's
Captain Marvel. Sorry.
Just call him Shazam these days, okay?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think he's starting to sow the seeds of dissent because he's not actually Shazam. We have a Black Adam situation.
Oh, Black Adam. Nice.
That is my new nickname, and I love it.
Yeah.
It's great,
man.
Thank you.
It's a good one.
I can't believe that wasn't already in play.
Never.
Wow.
My mother never called me her little Black Adam.
Oh, what a terrible mom. So we're going to talk. We've got some Marvel news, some casting news. We've got a lot of casting news.
Yep. And first up, we have Netflix. No, I'm just trying to make your head explode. That's coming later.
So over at Marvel, we've got Daniel Bruhl cast in the Captain America. Look what you've done to me. The Captain America movie. And possibly the Doctor Strange movie. According to some reports, he's going to be the villain in Doctor Strange. But not all of the reports are saying the same thing. So, Daniel Bruhl, he was in Inglourious Basterds and Rush. And Kevin Feige says, with Daniel's ability to deliver intense, nuanced performances, we knew we had found yet another great actor to share the screen with some of our biggest heroes. And lots of people are saying he's going to be Baron Zemo.
Hey, well, Zemo spent a lot of time looking over his shoulders, so it's
going to
go really well.
Lots of people on the internet I've seen, like, just...
Oh, those people.
Those people. The Dr. Dooms of the world are all saying to
Did you also hear some people even threw out a crazy Red Skull?
No, I've heard that, too, that he's the reincarnation of Red Skull.
My favorite is MODOK.
That's a great character. I'd love to see they get in there. But I think he's going to be isn't MODOK like on like a screen or something like that, or he's the floating
giant head that sits on the seat,
right? He's the giant head, right? Arnim Zola is the
organism designed only for killing.
But they managed to make Zola really awesome in BA in Winter Soldier. He was so freaking cool.
I just saw it again the other day. I was kind of sick all week. I got to admit, all I wanted to do all week was like the one movie I wanted to just like on demand because there's so much TV to get through. It was like, I want to watch Winter Soldier again straight up.
Yeah.
That movie is so fucking good.
It's so good.
Oh, it's okay. Oh.
You did that on purpose. You are sabotaging us.
I'm not just saying freaking. No,
you are sabotaging us.
Good. It's just amazing. Like that movie to me, not to get off topic, but just the weight and the way they made Cap feel like it felt like the comic books.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like the speed and everything. Like, you know, up till then, like when movies they show a guy running fast and it looks kind of weird or throwing it just didn't have the weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was so good. Well,
and they made Hydra scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which has never been
like,
scary to me.
Green, you know, suited minions, and they're like, I always thought Hydra and AIM are kind of silly, really silly, but the Russo brothers brought so much life to the Cap films, and Winter Soldier was one of my favorites, and the way they handled Zola, who I love, because he's this crazy walking TV man that looks like, you know, Krang. And
Krang.
They just brought.
He was
so
scary.
Much.
He was great. And then they even rationalized the whole monologuing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They let him monologue, and they said, oh, but this is why I've been monologuing like this.
Yeah.
Because now you blow up.
So good. And I love, like, they had, like, the weird camera thing that they zoomed in on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, even in the first movie you're talking about.
No. In the first movie, they had, like, the weird magnifying glass
Behind
it. In the second movie, they go down to that bunker. They're like, what is this? And then there's that weird mm-hmm. camera thing that like triggers on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the security camera.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
it was
cool.
Great.
It was so good.
Now, if they do bring in Brule as Zemo, what... You know, what can we tell our non-comic reading audience about Baron Zemo?
Well, do we want to do it? Greg, do you want to? You are our Baron Zemo expert, self-proclaimed. Do you want to take this? Do you want to run with who Baron Zemo is?
Well, Baron Zemo is a interesting character. First of all, it depends if you're talking about Heinrich or Helmut. There's two of them.
It's like Baron Zemo 1 and Baron Zemo 2.
Yeah,
like,
as a kid.
Well, I think it's actually the 12th and the 13th of the Zemo line.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know. No one is saying. My guess is that it's going to end up being Heinrich.
Which is the guy with the furry shoulders.
I think that's Helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the second one.
Let's
I think
have
that's
that
the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the sword wielding, and his hood is like a little more fitted to his face.
I'm remembering the images from the Handbook of the Marvel Universe that I used to collect.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Like Baron Zemo.
But okay, what role does he play within in the Cap universe?
He plays quite a few, I think, at different times. And he's, I mean, Greg knows more than I do. So
he killed. Well, they thought he killed Bucky. Attached, he stole basically a plane and. Captain America and Bucky were trapped on that plane. Captain falls out, lands in the ocean, gets unfrozen years later. They think Bucky dies in the explosion. And Heinrich essentially...
He was the one who
Bucky.
Did that.
Yeah.
I think that's in Captain America 6 or something, or Avengers number 6, where they did
so,
that.
So yeah, he's evil.
But in the modern law, in the modern lore, I mean, I remember like when I started collecting, I think Zemo was already dead. So I guess was he a big villain in like the 70s and like when Captain America was like in the prime of his run?
He's kind of a big character in the 60s because he helps redefine Captain America for the Silver Age. Because in the Golden Age, I think he was actually gunned down by like gangsters or something like that. And that's how they killed him in the Golden Age. And then they rewrote it in the Silver Age with Zemo killing him and Bucky at the same time.
Yeah.
And it was 20 years later, so Stan Lee could do that.
Uh-oh,
Jatarvis has a question. What is it, Jatarvis?
Well, as we all know, Captain America 3 is Civil War.
Yeah?
How does this character play into that storyline?
I don't know. I think that one of the things that he's most known for is Masters of Evil. He creates the Masters of Evil. I think Crossbones is a member of the Masters of Evil at some point, right?
In the comics, Iron Man actually enlists... Baron Zemo Helmut to gather all the supervillains to go on his side. So that could
be in the Civil War.
That could be, even though apparently he was doing that.
And it looks like Crossbones will be, because we saw that character like scarred up.
He will come back as Crossbones.
Now, not to get too nerdy, but will we see a power broker? Like, help? Isn't that like part of Crossbones' thing? Doesn't he get like power brokered up? Come on, I don't want to talk about like John Walker and all that kind of stuff.
Don't know. You're out nerding me.
Power
right
Broker
there.
Is a guy in the Marvel Universe who you go to and you like you give him a certain amount of money and he jacks you up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's the super.
There's a lot of like black market like power like augmentation and stuff that you can do, and he's one of the guys.
Yeah.
And
John Walker, who took over for Steve Rogers one of the times when he was walking around as a U.S. agent and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He was. John Walker was
he
the
Nomad?
Guy. He was Nomad. I think Steve Rogers was Nomad, and then maybe Switch. I think John Walker was Nomad too. I think they swapped.
So
I need a
place.
Geek Alert button. Geek Alert.
All right. So how he could fit in is, I think he's going to be vaguely in the background in Civil War because the way they're talking about him, he's not going to be the main villain. I think he's going to be kind of like the ticking clock of the film with them fighting each other. There's going to be a bigger threat going on with Zemo, and I think that's going to end up. If he is in Doctor Strange, I think that's how they play into Doctor
what
Strange.
What I like to think about is that Tony Stark still recruits Zemo, who is one of Cap's oldest enemies, and Cap is not cool with it. And he's like, no, Captain America, I know maybe you and my father had your differences, but I am telling you I'm on the level.
Oh, so
and then he's
Zemo
really not. And he's acting through the Superhuman Registration Act or whatever that is in Civil War. And he's, I think, maybe plotting against Captain America while at the same time shaking his hand. And
but
like
Stark doesn't know that because he's not overtly going right.
Yeah. And Stark's like, trust him, Cap, give him a chance. And that's going to blow up in Stark's face.
He's
and it's
got
blow
such
up in
a
Cap's
big
face.
Ego anyway,
right.
Stark.
Right.
So he's
and
like,
he's
no,
like
he's
I got
fine.
It.
Because we know that a lot of what we're getting from the Ultron mythology and moving forward is this constant reaching back into the 40s and the 60s with Stark's father and all that kind
Agent
of stuff.
Agent Carter and the SSR.
Bringing all that. And I love how they keep their intertwining that really, really well. Yeah. So it would make sense that like Stark's reaching back into the past. This guy, he worked on the original Ultron Imperative, or you know, he worked on the original Super Soldier Project. And, and this his descendant is now going to be working with us in the
he's
present.
Trying to, the son's trying to make up for the sins of the father, which is something that I think a lot of characters in the Iron Man universe are attempting to do, including Iron Man.
Also something they can do is they can bring in the father in Agent Carter and start establishing
Heinrich. That would be great, going back to Heinrich.
Which I think now that we're like, you know, a season into S.H.I.E.L.D., I think with Carter, I think they're figuring out how to do this stuff with the TV stuff better.
Yeah.
I think there was like
it's
obviously
so much
growing
better.
Pains.
So much better.
But I think they know what they're doing now.
All right. So, Jatarvis, did we answer your question at all? Did we help you out there, buddy?
You lost me at Nomad.
We lost a lot.
He looks a lot like this guy, by the way.
Nomad? He looks a little bit like the red and yellow Daredevil, you think?
No, who am I?
Okay, guys. Okay.
We've also got, over at Marvel, we've got the Russo brothers rumored to be directing the Infinity Wars.
Given the keys to the kingdom. I'm pretty stoked because the Russo brothers are, they're nerds. At their core, they are giant nerds. If you've ever watched Community at all, you see so many comic book video game references.
That's why I love that show.
It's phenomenal. And they've handled Cap so well, and they've made a franchise out of the Captain America movies where I feel the Iron Man were the flagship for now. I think Cap is kind of going that way, and if they give them Infinity Wars, it's really going to solidify where Marvel's going to go in their Phase 3 and wrap it up, and I think they have what it takes to make it work.
I think it's interesting that Winter Soldier especially was so grounded and so real and so Earth-based, and I think putting them in Infinity War would be a really interesting thing to see what they can do cosmically.
Because
I thought the visuals of Winter Soldier were fantastic and all that, so it'd be interesting to take them out of espionage and spies and military forces and put them in a cosmic scale. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what they could do.
Yeah. Well, I think what that movie proved, Winter Soldier, is that you can take great storytellers who don't necessarily have all this experience working with multi-$100 million budgets, because the Marvel brain trust and the Kevin Feige team has got all that down.
Yeah.
They've already got the action sequences storyboarded out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But what makes these movies magic is filling in the heart and the characters. That's when you bring in great storytellers, because these films are collaborative efforts. And that's, you know, that's probably why, we lost Edgar Wright, for Ant-Man, is because he was more of an autonomous filmmaker.
Yeah.
You shrunk.
So I think that they're making the right choices based on, like, guys who tell great stories.
Which I think has to be primary.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
We've also got James Gunn denying rumors that Guardians of the Galaxy will set up Infinity War. That's the movie, I think, that comes right before... No, not before. It comes before Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Then we do. It comes after Black Panther, before Captain Marvel, and then we go into Infinity War. And he's saying that they're not going to have anything to do with the Infinity War stuff.
I think that's fair, because there's so much going on with other movie tie-ins to Infinity War that Guardians kind of set its own little cosmic scale, and I think it's okay for them to go off and do their own story.
Yeah.
I mean, they set up a lot with Thanos already that they can kind of go on and finally tell their own story, which I think is going to be Peter Quill's father's story.
Yeah, me too.
I think we're going to get Jason or whoever they choose.
I think they'll hit a little bit on...
They have to. I mean, with just
the
Drax and Gamora alone, you can't not have Thanos involved.
Yeah, I don't think that James Gunn has any reason to, mislead people. Marvel doesn't really seem to be, like, playing it like that.
Yeah.
Like, I believe what he's saying. There's
They're not J.J. Abrams.
Right, exactly. There's a lot of characters in this movie. People want to see more of those characters, and they want to see more of their story. Now they got the origin stuff out of the way. Like, a lot of these movies, like, it's like the sequel. The first one has to tell the origin, and the sequels have been just singing.
Yeah.
Because now you can just tell a story.
Yeah. So that's it for Marvel news that I know of. So now we're going to head over to Fox, where we get to Jean Grey and Cyclops casting has started. Ba, 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 ba. That's kind of exciting for everyone.
He's kind of everyone sees his face I'm making.
What? What?
It's not a happy face.
It's not a happy face.
Why are you not happy, Meredith?
I love Jean Grey. Obviously.
No, she's your Doctor Strange,
she's
right?
She's my Doctor Strange.
Never tell from your hair color.
I know. There's a reason why I went from Emma Blonde, which I'm natural, to Jean Grey Red. But
that's a Sophie's choice.
Well done. Well done.
So I see where they're going. So with what Fox is trying to do for Apocalypse is they are casting younger for Jean and Cyclops.
Well, let's get the names out there real quick. So for Jean Grey, they're looking at Chloe Moritz, Elle Fanning, and Hailee Steinfeld. Those are the three names that have been thrown out.
And big names.
They're big names for Jean Grey.
For those So that character in that age group.
And then Cyclops are looking at Ben Hardy, Charlie Rowe, and Timothy Chalamet. I don't know any of them.
Well, they're going with lesser established characters, yeah. Cyclops, which is
all
kind
right,
of
so
safe.
Your beef with Jean Grey.
Not my
or
beef.
The casting.
Well,
the casting.
Okay, so I of course love the Age of Apocalypse storyline. That is the storyline that I would like to see. I don't think that's the one they're going to do. I think they're going to end up doing a completely different one. But it's so young. The characters are so young. I know it's supposed to be set in the 80s, but I feel like it's going to be more of a coming of age. It's not going to be some crazy AU. It'll be Jean and Cyclops discovering their powers for the first time. And I was kind of hoping to see something like late teen, early 20s, so we could actually see them fighting and kicking ass and doing what they do.
I think we can still see that.
I don't know.
I think the powers are going to be so strong.
I think it's going to be more like how we're introduced to Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver and Avengers. I think they're going to be coming into their powers. I think with them going this young in casting, I think it's going to be like, we're going to see Cyclops in the orphanage, you know, some flashbacks.
So it'll be
no,
very
I don't think he's that old when he's in the
class.
Orphanage. I don't think so. I think it's interesting. I think it's an exciting. I mean, as far as the age range goes, they're all in a point where, you know, it would look like their powers have already manifested. And I think at that age, when mutants are younger in the books, the powers are out of control and they don't know how to control them. So we might actually get more flare ups and more power and more destruction,
which could be
really cool. And that's also, I think, in the original stories, all the X-Men, the first class, were so young there's nothing stopping them from being a mate. Like here, you know, whatever. They're children
literally are children in the early issues. I mean, that's one of the issues that Cyclops has in current run with the way that he feels Xavier kind of betrayed their childhood.
Right.
I mean, it's a long running theme, but I guess it does work if these characters, these younger actors get signed on for more of a long-term thing, we'll get to see them grow.
Right.
I think
that's what they're doing. Yeah. I think they're going to be like a longer-term thing. I think they're setting up a larger franchise.
I want to see it pick up like early, like we see the school is now just established and maybe we see like young Jean Grey and Scott are already there and it's training, and that's, you know, that first act of the film is going to be what's the status quo now in the 80s.
Right. It's cool. I don't know how much we'll get from them because Fox has made it very clear that they want Jennifer Lawrence to be the front runner of the universe, of the X-Men universe, which is so weird to me that Mystique would ever be the central X-Men.
That's the main problem. As much as these films kind of get better, that's the problem where you have, like, you know, with Feige's whole thing is like, look, we have the comics are our Bible. We build out of that. And we have all this mythology to build from. And when you get, like, with Fox, and, like, look, Fox is, they make great movies, but I think they're really, they're thinking, like, nope, Jennifer Lawrence, that's hot. That's where we gotta go.
Yeah. No,
Hunger
they're,
Games,
they're
you want
so
that
much,
Katniss.
They have so much more of a studio attitude over there. It's
so much.
It's very much like, oh, you know, Jean Grey and Cyclops are, no, that Jennifer Lawrence, she's much.
So that's where I would be concerned more than anything is just the fact that I think a lot of other characters, I think the leaders of those universes are being shifted in order to sell tickets.
Every once in a while, they need to stop themselves and say, hey, we're making the decisions. We have the money. We're also the people that greenlit X-Men Origins Wolverine. We did that.
We did that.
We can't undo that.
Slap their own knuckles. Yeah.
That all brings us to the next thing, which is that the X-Men Apocalypse movie is apparently going to center around a Mystique and Magneto love story.
Which, as we all remember from,
that was,
happened in
issue.
It was issue never, right?
Let's see. Magneto had his wife. He had Magda, which we never, you know, really see.
Magda and Wendigo. Right?
Yeah,
the Wendigo Mountains.
Wendigo.
It's Wendigo Mountains. It's where Scarlet Witch goes.
And then he has an on again, off again thing with Rogue, which is a little weird. A little weird.
That's mostly an Age of Apocalypse.
No,
that's not true. That has become
established.
Not currently. I mean, it had a mainline theme out of like one of the second Age of Apocalypse type stories.
It was with Rogue. Nothing has ever been with Mystique.
No.
In fact, Mystique has a baby with Xavier in the current run of comics, and Mystique has also been with Wolverine.
Which, look, fine. You know, look, it's not the comics. It's the movies. They have their own continuity.
I'm with you on that. I'm always with you on that. It's just, it's so, the Fox is forcing a love quadrangle at this point because you have Beast, who's in love with Mystique. You have Xavier, who has this weird attachment to Mystique from his childhood. And now suddenly Mystique and Magneto are going to go get their
rocks
off.
It's just the fact that it's it's Jennifer Lawrence. Everyone has a crush on Jennifer Lawrence. Well, I think they're just playing that.
And you know what's really messed up, too, is, like, Nicholas Hoult, the actor, have you seen him? He's, like, in a lot of car commercials now, right?
Mm-hmm. Wait,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He's doing these, like, Jaguar or something commercials.
Oh, that's
like, dude,
awesome.
Is super good-looking. Yeah. He's so good-looking that when you put him in a movie next to Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy, like, he's beast. That's how good-looking these actors are, and it makes me mad. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
So that's. Do we have anything else on? Because I want to move on.
No,
to the
I
next
don't
thing.
Care about that. I don't want to give it any airtime. I think that's a mistake.
Because talking about it makes it even more real.
Well, I just don't care. I just think I see what that is. I see that's transparent to me.
Yeah.
And I don't like
yeah.
it.
All right. Well. How do you like the news that Fantastic Four, the villain, Dr. Doom, is going to be an angry internet blogger?
I think it's great, man. I think especially for this year, you know, it's 1999. I think that's cutting edge, like a brilliant take. Like, let's put somebody behind a keyboard. That's amazing.
And let's have it, like, he gives him the internet call sign of Doom.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. He was like in an offshoot of Hackers. That's actually what the Fantastic Four movie is a Hacker's, like, sequel.
And his name is Victor Domashev, not Victor Von Doom. He's not from Latveria.
Which
he lives
is fine.
In New York,
Victor Von Doom is a little on the nose. I get it, you know.
It's fine. He's repping my Eastern European people.
I'm just saying, Marvel has a raccoon that talks and climbs a walking, talking tree.
Whose last name is Raccoon.
Raccoon.
Yes.
Like, how on the nose is that? And everyone fell in love with it. And then
they called him Rocket,
like,
in the film. They never called him Rocket Raccoon. Well,
that's true.
Very true.
Guys,
but, yes.
I think Fox is being really progressive here, and they are using Victor Doom, the social justice warrior, to tackle some of the hard-hitting issues we've faced this year. I think he's actually going to be a very pro-feminist blogger. He's going to be anti-Gamergate. I think he's going to have a lot of opinions, and I think what the real problem here is that he is going to fight the diverse group of Fantastic Four because their ideologies get mixed up, because they're all really at the core fighting for the rights for everyone. That's really what they
want. Okay, can I be devil's advocate since I am from the opposite show here? I've been thinking about this a lot, and I've been defending this movie for a while, and when I first heard this news, I was gut punched. I really was, because the whole thing is the guy's a monarch of a nation. It really makes him a different level of a threat. However, let's assume that not just a blogger, but this is a guy who can access the internet and the web in a way that it can bring down governments. I mean, everything's controlled by computers. If you really control everything, you can really dominate the world in a more realistic way than some like young kid who's like, I am the monarch of this nation. Also, just like Joe Francis from the Girls Gone Wild, he bought an island. Eventually, this guy could generate monies and form his own island, and maybe in sequels get a nation, you know?
Well, in all reality, I mean, that is kind of the new modern world threat. We're not really, I mean, you know, sometimes we're afraid of like Russia or China, but it's those unsettled nations, these single, like, you know, groups that can take down.
They have less to lose. They're smaller.
Exactly.
They're not organized.
I was being sarcastic before about my social justice warrior rant, but in all reality, I think it is a smarter move to touch on the younger generation because they are very keyed into that. And I think it's not speaking to us comic book fans. It is speaking to a completely different generation of moviegoers, but I think it's a bold move on their part. And I'm actually kind of excited to see what they're going to do with this.
And the books aren't selling great.
Uh-oh, Jatarvis, what do you got for us?
All right, I know who Doom is. I'm a fan of Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not super familiar with his super evil powers. Doesn't he use like a lot of magic and sorcery? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's actually a really interesting character because he's one of the only ones in the entire Marvel universe who is both very smart technologically, but he's also very smart with magic. Yeah, he's a technomancer. That's a great way to put it.
How are they going to put magic? Like, he's almost like a Doctor Strange, isn't he?
No, but he's in that same kind of ballpark. He's like if you mix the best parts of Doctor Strange and the best parts of Tony Stark and put him into one person.
The Fox world tends to be more grounded. That seems to be what they're going for. Yeah. That's their mandate in the mutant world, and that's kind of like what their mandate is in the Fantastic Four, it seems like.
It seems like they're even trying to ground it even more. I mean, they've got Josh Trank directing, who did Chronicle, and that
which was amazing.
Is
that's why
real, you know? So
that film was so good. That's why I've been defending everything. I'm like, look, Fantastic Four is not doing great as a book. It has not been a top 10 sell for a long time. Like let's I've always been saying, like, look, let's be open to a revision. Now, if this Fantastic Four property was at Marvel Studios, totally different.
Totally different.
Because they have nailed the tone in where Spider-Man and Fantastic Four could live in that world tomorrow, and we would love it.
Yeah.
But for Fox's world, I really want to believe that it's going to be good. I am nervous that they don't seem confident enough in this property.
Yeah.
But they haven't been giving us anything.
They're not putting anything out. Yeah,
except things like he's a blogger and it's gritty and real.
And the way like letting these, the actors buzzwords. Come out and say this stuff, it's like, what the heck going on,
it's
Simon
sound
Kimber?
Bites. Yeah. They're sitting and giving sound bites, and I think I'm afraid it's going to end up more like Wolverine Origins versus, you know.
I really hope
I don't
not.
Think that'll happen.
I don't know what could.
If you nail the thing now,
that's true.
But wait, if you get Thing right and Thing is an orange rocky monster that's a great CGI creature, you've like got half the battle for me, seriously.
Yeah. Thing is also being played by Billy Elliot.
But CG!
But I think he's a great actor. Like, I like him. Jamie Bell, I think, is great.
But
that's, I don't know, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see what he does with
Chiklis
it.
Chiklis did a great job, I thought, as a Thing.
Yeah,
I thought vocally.
But he looked really short.
But
I was just watching the movie the other day, and he was like 5 foot
tall. Yeah, and rubber. So like, he looked like a Stretch Armstrong doll. Like,
oh,
it was
yeah.
like, it looked like he was made out of that material.
So, Jatarvis, did we answer your question about Doom at all?
Yeah, you did. I just don't understand how you make the jump from, like, a sorcerer, which is such a
I've
huge
never known him.
Ignore it. I just ignore it.
I've never known him as a sorcerer.
He's a hacker.
He's very vaguely a sorcerer. He was from a gypsy like family, and his mother was killed at some point, and he actually did a crossover with Doctor Strange that Mike Mignola drew. Like Trial and Triumph. It's really good.
That sounds amazing.
They actually traveled to hell searching for Doctor Doom's the mother.
Do
the
they
soul
then
of
cross
Doctor
over
Doom's.
With Hellboy?
No, they don't.
That would be,
they don't.
That would
but,
be cool.
But this is like back in the like late 80s when Mignola was really coming into his own. So you can imagine maybe that's where Hellboy started to kind of come around.
That's cool.
But yeah, if you haven't read that Doctor Strange, Doctor Doom crossover, it's really good.
I'll pick it up. Yeah. I've always seen Doom as a tech-based villain.
He's a lot more tech-based.
And that seems what they're doing just character for the initial character stuff is tech. So that seems easiest power set
and
to at least begin with. And
then maybe I like where you're going with like the programming, because that is kind of like the tech of our day.
You could bring down everything.
That's a great call. And
I
hope that's what they go with. And I know I'm always like, wah, wah,
which
about
is funny because it's also kind of the plot of Superman 3, but done a little bit smarter. But
yeah.
I hope it's done. I would love to love it. Yeah. I would love to love a Fantastic Four movie.
Yep.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully one day.
Real quick, going over to Sony, there's no real news except a couple weeks ago they said that there might be an Aunt May movie.
There is not going to be
We're
going to
do
May
a Golden Oldie movie.
What is going on, man?
Sony has no idea what they're doing over there.
And
like,
they just dropped the Jobs movie, too? Like, what's going on?
They're trying so hard to hold on to Spider-Man, and they don't know how because Spider-Man 2 didn't do as well as they were hoping.
Sometimes
so
if
I think
you love
they're
Spider-Man, you have to let him go.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right? Anyway,
that
rumor was squashed. They're not actually doing that, but it was. I just wanted to say something about Sony, like Spider-Man.
I know we've been neglecting them. It's their fault.
We're not neglecting
them.
They're neglecting
us. Thank you. Yes. All right. So going over to even bigger news over at Netflix, we're finally getting some casting lists on Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
Really?
Have you heard?
I've not heard this.
Okay,
this is
so,
breaking to me.
So they're doing Daredevil. That's supposed to come out in 2015. The
cannot
next movie,
wait.
No, right?
Yeah.
It looks it's,
cannot
I,
wait.
Like the costume, just like oh, come on,
can't wait.
But they're also doing Jessica Jones. That's going to be the next one. And the cast that they've that's come out so far, I think it was Deadline that reported it. Kristen Ritter, Alexandra Daddario, Teresa Palmer, Jessica DeGaulle, and Maren Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with Maren. Kristen Ritter, and that's Alexandra Daddario.
Wow.
She was in True Detective, if you ever watched that show.
A couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. Kristen Ritter from Breaking Bad. That's Teresa Palmer that you just saw. That's Kristen Ritter. And Jessica DeGaulle, you might know her from Arrow, where she's played the Huntress.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
And Maren Ireland, I'm not familiar with who she is. She's from The
we
Divide.
Don't have her
but that,
picture. She
but
just
that news was
in
just
Canada
released
today.
Like a couple hours ago. So.
Cool.
So, yeah, what do we, Jessica Jones, do we know anything about her? Like,
no.
No?
I read that the series when Bendis did the great
Alias.
Alias series, which was really awesome. And it was like one of
I'm halfway through it right now.
Yeah, it was
it's
like
so
one
good.
Of those first series, like kind of like the Matt Fraction Hawkeye series, where it's like taking a step back from like having to fight supervillains all
it's
the time.
Super good.
And it's
and
really,
it's really,
really
dark.
Good.
It's and, a really dark and gritty.
And then they wrote her, they gave her this whole backstory and then just kind of inserted her into the Marvel Universe, like, oh, she's been here the whole time.
Yeah.
It was like great. And then she had like the Purple Man. Which made it was well, very cool.
Doing some research, getting ready for the show, she apparently showed up in Spider-Man number 4 back in the 60s.
Whoa.
Okay.
And had one line where she was watching, I think, Peter Parker fight Flash Thompson. She had one line.
Wow.
And they were like, Jessica Jones, come on, or something like that. And that character, apparently, Bendis wrote this whole backstory wow. for and brought her forward.
He must be like just like a serious human encyclopedia.
Well,
dude, I know.
Well,
I know,
Marvel
right?
also has this amazing internal database that you can cross-reference and pull from and look up histories. And so a lot of, you know, writers today will go and source from that. And it's phenomenal. I only know this because my roommate worked on it when she
oh,
was at Marvel.
So cool.
And some of the stuff that they can pull from, and that's what especially Bendis, he loves to pick obscure characters
yeah.
and bring them to life.
Yeah.
Because it gives him more freedom. Mm-hmm. He's not, you know, shackled yeah. by all
and
the other writers. Yeah.
And it does kind of the same thing that Winter Soldier did for Bucky, where it's like they've been here this whole time, they've had this weird backstory this whole time, and it just enriches the universe that much more.
Right.
Anyway, so Jessica Jones, just real quick, because probably most of our listeners aren't.
You need
too
a really intelligent character, okay? So she's not like she doesn't come off as like a firebrand necessarily. She's
yeah.
more of a cerebral character. Like there's a real dark
very
side.
Existential.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, like she's a character that had been really wronged a lot. A lot of bad stuff had
what's
been
her,
done.
Oh, what's her power set?
Okay, her power set is, I mean, she's more or less kind of Superman, not as strong or as invulnerable, but
okay.
she can fly. She's super strong and she's almost bulletproof. So
almost,
so
almost.
So, another,
so
like
not
bulletproof, but like if you shot her, like
she's it, tough.
She's
yeah.
tough.
Okay.
Yeah, so then what was the thing? So then why did she like retire? Wasn't it a thing like she was out
no,
of it for
dude,
a long time?
So the way I understand it is that she retired from being a superhero because of the Purple Man.
Right. Okay. He just
so
messed her up so bad.
He messed. So the Purple Man. Hopefully, we see him in
Zebediah Kilgrave.
Oh, digging deep.
What if Jessica
well
Jones
done,
is
sir.
A black and white series? Would they be that bold
oh,
to make it
no.
a total noir?
No, but that would be awesome. That would be
feels,
so.
It really
awesome.
Reads
very
like
noir.
A real noir
yeah.
kind
yeah.
of story.
So Purple Man, when she first comes, like she first comes onto the scene, he kidnaps her for a few months.
Purple Man is a man who is purple, and
his
literally,
skin, yeah.
he's all purple. And if he says. He can tell you what to do. He can
he
command
can enthrall you.
You,
but it's through pheromones.
Yeah.
So it's like this very like weird psychosexual sort of thing. And he held on to her for 8 months, made her his slave, and then mm-hmm. sent her after Daredevil, where she got punched in the face by Vision and was in the hospital. And it was just a mess. It's a mess what happened in this.
Yeah, Jessica Purple Man
Jones.
Is awful.
He's
in the current
awful.
Daredevil run.
Oh my god.
He's in the
he's
first
so bad.
New Avengers that Bendis put out, which I love that first
yeah,
trade
yeah, yeah,
breakout.
Yeah.
That first volume
breakout,
one New
so
Avengers
good.
Is so good.
Characters
is the
like
current
that,
Daredevil like in San Francisco that's
yeah.
gone? Oh.
Yeah, yeah, the last three
like
issues
are,
have been all Purple Man.
They're so scary because they're so real.
With Purple Man?
Well, I mean, obviously.
The powers, you mean?
No, but with the psychological trauma. I mean,
oh,
that's,
yeah.
that's
he does
what,
damage.
He does total damage, and that's where apparently in the same way that Alias picks up kind of right after that, that's where this is picking up. Purple Man has tormented her. She's hung up the cape. She's not fighting crime
anymore.
So this
is going to be Alias pretty much? Wow. It will
yeah.
be the Netflix series?
And that's what everyone is saying. I haven't read the script,
so
I can't say
that.
It
would be silly
sure.
not to. I mean, because
but they're saying that almost the entire series is pulled from Alias.
Well, look, the best thing about these comic book stories is when they're told, taken from, you know, the 60 years of mythology. Jessica Jones only has a limited amount of mythology. Fortunately, it's a great story written by Brian Michael Bendis, one of the most prolific writers in
yeah.
modern comics, so they'd be foolish not to mine that story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah. All right, so we've got to move on. Luke Cage's names are being tossed around. Actor named Lance Gross, another one Mike Coulter, and then just today a guy named Cleo Anthony, who doesn't really have a whole lot of credits. But look him up. I think of the three guys they've announced, he looks super like when I saw his, I was like, that guy's Luke Cage.
Yeah.
So if you're listening,
who's that guy?
Cleo
who's
Anthony,
that guy we're seeing right there?
The one up there, I believe, is Lance.
Is that Lance? Yeah,
yeah.
that's Lance. And then Mike
Coulter.
Because
his eyes are entrancing.
That's Mike Coulter.
Yeah. Mike Coulter looks like a young Idris Elba.
Mm-hmm. No, my vote is Cleo Anthony,
yeah.
that we don't have a picture of.
We just,
so,
yeah,
because he just came out
like,
today, so we didn't have time to
yeah.
get it uploaded. But
that's Mike Coulter?
That's Mike Coulter,
yeah.
Coulter.
And what was he from?
Oh, I forgot to write that down. I don't remember.
I'm stealing him from my new pick for John Stewart in the Green Lantern
oh.
movie. You
oh.
cannot have him.
Oh,
that's
he would
good.
Be good, John
that
Stewart.
Would be good.
Oh my
God. That's Mike,
amazing.
We're talking. Don't sign with Netflix
yeah.
yet.
Yeah. Just hang in there.
So, but Luke Cage is going to be in 6 to 7 episodes of Jessica Jones and then get his own series. And then after Luke Cage, we're going to get Danny Rand and Iron Fist. Which
And then Defenders?
And then Defenders.
So it's going to be a fifth one will be Defenders?
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, that is
after they
that.
Introduce all four, they're going to do
Isn't
a fifth
that
series.
Crazy? If they can pull these off,
dude.
Just a level of production
dude.
From like a good FX show or
dude.
AMC
yeah.
show, HBO
dude.
Level, that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Me too.
Not like
so
the ABC,
exciting.
Fox,
so
NBC.
Exciting.
Like, just give it that darkness that
are they gonna do with Iron Fist?
I know.
That's
like
amazing.
Is he gonna
lighting me? Like it'd be better than Kung Fu. Kung Fu with like great awesome powers.
Yeah.
Like,
what's
amazing.
The name of the dragon? I forgot.
Shun Lao the Undying.
Shun Lao the Undying.
I think it's that.
Yeah.
It's pretty close to that.
Uh-oh,
yes, sir.
Uh-oh, what's up, Jotarvis?
Real quick, I'm not that familiar with Luke Cage.
I've seen him
in the comics and stuff.
He is Power Man. He teams up with Iron Fist.
He's got the tiara and the chain. For a belt.
Blue tights, yellow shirt, deep plunging neckline.
Yeah.
What's his main power?
His main power is that he's super strong and he is bulletproof. Like,
yeah.
His skin is unbreakable.
He's a big, tough black man.
He is the definition of alpha male, too. Like, if you were to put him and Superman in a room together, he would not back down.
Kind of Bruce Willis Unbreakable?
No.
Less pansy than that.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
But he also has he's got a good sense of humor. He's a fun character.
Yeah.
He's really well rounded in the comics.
His best friend is Iron Man.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things.
Iron Fist.
Brandis wrote it, but Secret Wars, which was
yes.
the new
yeah.
one.
The Nick
where,
Fury
yeah,
one.
Yeah, where he got, and they nuked Luke Cage, and he got all these, they really hit him hard, and he had all these internal injuries. He had to be brought to the hospital, and they couldn't operate on him.
Because
his skin is unbreakable.
Yeah.
So they were just so like, cool. There's nothing, we can't get in there to help him. Whatever they did, they knew
totally
how to take him out. Like, I was like, oh, that's incredible. Like,
that's
he did
smart.
Get hurt and nobody could help him because he's so tough. But originally, I think the power came from,
remember the origin.
I think I do. I think it was, he was in prison wrongly and was picked to be part of this experiment that went wrong. And he came out of the experiment, and I think, I don't know if somebody else tried to sabotage it, like almost Captain America-esque.
Okay. Wow.
And he came out with super strength
right.
and unbreakable skin.
Huh.
I know that they were big in the 70s. Yeah. It was Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Like
Heroes
popular,
for Hire.
Like,
Heroes
yeah.
for Hire, yeah. That's what I think they should call it, Heroes for Hire instead of Defenders.
I agree.
They've never been Defenders.
Well, and there's so many other
Doctor
cool
Strange
characters
and,
you can bring in with Heroes of Hire.
Yeah.
So,
but are they Defenders in the modern mythology?
No.
I don't think
they're
ever been called Defenders.
It's Heroes, because Heroes of Hire had a...
Fearless Defenders
But that was born out of the Heroes for Hire trade. So.
I just hope that they're really successful with this, because this is a whole other stream and a whole other mythology to mine now.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to run over to television real quick. We're actually going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which we tried to do every single episode, but always run out of time.
Well, this was a really good episode.
This last week was an amazing episode. And by the way, before we get into that, just yesterday they released an interview with the executive producers Jed Whedon and Marissa Tancheron.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah.
And one of the stars of the show, Ruth Negga, who plays the girl in the flower dress,
mm-hmm.
Reyna. And they confirmed 100% that the blue alien that gave up the GH-325 that saves Coulson and Sky is, in fact, a Kree. It's a Kree. Mm-hmm. It is a Kree alien.
It's a Kree.
We have confirmation, everybody.
How cool is it the first time they showed that on the show?
Oh, my God, dude.
Like, ah!
That's when I was like, all right, now I'm starting to like the show.
The problem with
now
the show is
something.
It should be 12 episodes a year. Like, the 23-episode season, it just dilutes everything so much. Like, all the best shows are, like, 12 episodes.
13,
yeah.
Look at how the BBC does it, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There's a good story in here. You just have to muck through a lot of stuff.
So, it is a Kree, which leads me to believe that they are looking for the lost inhuman city of Adelan, because the Kree... created the inhuman race.
Well, I mean, they're looking. That's what they established
humans.
On Tuesday. They're looking for the city. They found.
They're looking for a city. They just haven't named it yet.
I know, but they.
But it's Adelan. It's the Inhumans, man.
I don't know.
It is.
I thought so, but I
don't
think so.
Well, you're
what do you
waiting
think it
for.
Is?
Well, the thing is this: like, I thought with the writing. That looked very Inhumans-esque. Like,
yeah.
I was thinking of, like, the Romita series that was a couple of years ago where they had, like, you know, and it looked very... But I don't know that they're showing it. It's coming so soon. Like, I just find it... It seems too soon.
But the writing even
it
matches
soon,
up on Ronan the Accuser's weapon. Like, there's a screenshot that I found on the internet where it was... It matches. And, they said that the one girl, I'm blanking on her name.
Sky?
Not Sky. From last week, the Asian girl.
I don't think they ever said her name.
No, yeah, okay, but
the one that they were experimenting on? Yeah.
Oh,
and she's like, she's the key to the map. And
that was great.
Yeah.
It was a good episode. If you
that
didn't
whole
see
stinger
it,
at the end, that whole connection, it was great.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Honestly, if you can watch the last, like, six episodes of season one and then catch up now, S.H.I.E.L.D. has gotten... It's gotten good.
As soon as Winter Soldier came out, I thought it was so bold of them to have such a related episode the Tuesday after that movie came out.
So good.
Is it anybody who didn't watch it? Tough.
Tough.
Yeah.
Spoilers?
Yeah.
Whatever.
So that's give us your opinions on the Inhumans. We'd love to hear that. But now we've got one last thing. Our Marvel fans, last week we asked, our question of the week was give us a name and a recipe for an Avengers-themed drink. We had a few people come in with a few suggestions. We're going to vote on it right now. There are no prizes except you get bragging rights. We'll have a prize very soon. Ben Duff suggested the Hulk Smash, which is 3 pints of pure vodka colored green. Three pints. Steve Zizou suggested the Scarlet Witch, which is 1 ounce of mushrooms boiled with 4 tea bags. Add 1/2 gallon of water and 1 cup of sugar. That's all. It will change your reality as you know it. That's what he says.
1/2 gallon of water.
Half gallon of water.
How many mushrooms in there?
Just 1 ounce.
1 ounce.
1 ounce. Is that not enough?
Do you have
any?
I don't even,
no?
So Mike Hodges threw out Puny God, 1/3 tequila, 1/3 vodka, 1/3 Midori with a splash of red grenadine, served as a double shot. So that's the Puny God. Dane Owen suggested the Tony Stark, which is just water. It's just water because he's on the wagon.
Not on current comics.
Superior Airman, Michael Gladue suggested the Deadpool, straight shot of grain alcohol with a drop of red dye.
Or just like 140 proof anything.
Yeah, 140 proof anything, right? And then Justin Reed Patterson, the Quicksilver, back-to-back shots of clear rum and tequila, but super fast. Like super fast.
Oof.
All right, so those, that's what we've got.
Yeah.
We've got the Quicksilver, the Deadpool, the Tony Stark, which is just water, the Puny God, the Scarlet Witch, and the Hulk Smash.
I'm torn between Puny God and Quicksilver.
What was the Puny God again?
Puny God is 1/3 tequila, 1/3 vodka, 1/3 Midori with a splash of red grenadine. That's Puny God. And it served as a double shot.
I like Quicksilver and Hulk Smash.
All right, so
like Hulk Smash, you would never survive. But there's something about that makes me laugh. Yeah.
All right, so we've got Quicksilver and Hulk Smash. And what were yours?
Quicksilver and Puny God.
Okay, what are you thinking?
I like the Scarlet Witch.
I'm kind of on the Scarlet Witch, too.
I want to see where that goes.
I want to see how altered my reality is. What do you got?
I like the Hulk Smash. I think they should call it Hulk Smashed.
That is good.
Smashed.
All right, so...
Well, I think the moral of this story is we're all going to go get drunk.
Yeah. Well, but we've got to choose a winner. So how many for the Hulk Smash? You get one vote. One vote. How many for the Hulk Smash? Okay, we've got two. How many for the Steve Zizou? That's the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got three. Okay.
That's it. There's no more votes.
So Scarlet Witch wins.
Scarlet Witch wins. And I quickly did the math. 1/2 gallon is 8 cups. An ounce would be 8/8 of 1 ounce. So, from the recipe side, it sounds sound.
It sounds good. Good. Well, we're going into Thanksgiving. So our question for next week will be, which Marvel character, hero or villain, or just side character? It could be Aunt May, if you want to say it. Which character would throw the best Thanksgiving?
Oh.
Great.
Just Marvel character across the board. Which one serves the best Thanksgiving?
All right.
So that's our question for next week. That's our show for today. Thanks for listening. Please make sure to find us on Facebook, Marvel News from Marvel Fans. Like us there. Follow us on Twitter, at Marvel Schmoes. I'm at the Matt Key.
I'm at M. Placco.
At Matt Cook Tweeted.
At Adam Gertler.
Also, please don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. You can find us on the YouTube.com Popcorn Talk Network or PopcornTalk.com. And that's it for the show this week, guys. Keep your suggestions coming. Correct anything that we said wrong. Tell us what you want to hear.
It was Shao Wow the Undying in the city of Kunlun.
In the Kunlun, yes.
Yeah. So take that, Internet. I beat you.
Untweet.
Everyone, thanks for listening. Greg, thanks for being in here. Thanks for being in here, Adam.
Thanks, Jatarvis.
Thanks, guys.
Me. All right.
Love it.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.